Good evening. It's a Sunday night show. I'm Dave Schrader, and tonight, fear and monsters. That's right. We've got special guests joining us in the studio at 8 p.m. Doug Hajcek will be here of Monster Quest and the new film Sasquatch, Legend Meets Science number 2. But in the studio with me right now, another one of Minnesota's own homegrown, we've got Dakota Layden, the star of Project Fear. He is teamed up with his sister, Chelsea Layden. You've also got Alex Schrader and Tanner Wiseman as part of one of the most popular paranormal programs out there. You can follow it, and we will have a link for that up as well on the YouTube channel. Dakota, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave. This is awesome.
Well, you know, you and I, we have a long history together. Mm-hmm. I think, when did you first appear on my show? You were about 10 years old?
Yeah, I had to be 10 or 12. I still had braces. So yeah. Still a young guy.
Very young. And came on, you were doing spoofs of other paranormal TV shows. Yeah. And having a great time. And we're building such a following. And then actually got asked to step in on one of the shows that you were parodying. Yeah. And got to work behind the scenes and then spun off into your own program.
So wild.
Destination Fear, which ran on Travel Channel, and people can still see it, I think, on Discovery Plus and mm-hmm. Max. And now you're off with a new project called Project Fear.
Yes.
On YouTube, you've got a brand new episode that just debuted.
Yes.
And you went to the Washoe Club in Virginia City.
Yeah, so Project Fear, we're on YouTube now, and yeah, the Washoe Club was unreal. That's one of those haunted locations I feel like most people who get into the paranormal learn about right away, and to finally spend a night there was unreal.
Well, I want to dip into that and talk a little bit, but for listeners that may not be familiar with you yet, which I think there's probably only a handful still out there that don't know about you and the program, give people a little bit of your background. Did you have a belief in the paranormal, or were you just a fan of the paranormal and creating fun parody videos?
Yeah.
That turned into a following like
so
this.
So we actually grew up in a house that we thought was haunted. We had several years at our house where stuff was happening, so much so that even my parents eventually got it blessed. And so right away at an early age, I was very interested. This is without having seen movies, shows yet, just my own experiences. And at the time, I was interested in filmmaking. So I would actually set up cameras in my room or in my basement at night and review it the next day and see things and capture things. So from an early age, I was very into the paranormal, and then eventually found the shows and started binging those. And the spoofs happened just because I had watched every episode, and me and my buddy Tanner were like, right, we could kind of make fun of this and have fun with this. So we did these spoofs, and they ended up going over like the best of all of our videos at the time. And it's just been a wild journey. But it started as more of a filmmaker, but the paranormal just kind of happened and then got into it.
Now, you said that you grew up in what you believe was a haunted house. Mm-hmm. Once your parents had somebody come in and bless the house, did that temper the type of activity that was going on?
It did. It might have just been placebo, too. Mm-hmm. But there was one room they didn't bless. They did out the whole house, and they missed one room, the storage room, of course. And then we would still have stuff happen in that area. But it was everyone, and I have a big family, my three sisters and a brother, and everyone was having their own unique, creepy things happen. So much so that even like neighbors and locals would just come over to be like, I want to experience it. And it was kind of like a local lore.
It's not like your family, it was their dark, dirty little secret. You guys talked about it openly?
Yeah, yeah.
Were there other neighbors having strange experiences as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, actually my buddy Alex is on Project Fear. He lives the one house over from us, and his mom would have crazy encounters seeing this little girl in their house. And I'm of the opinion that there's something on the land. It's just the land itself is must be haunted, because all the houses there were built in the last 20-30 years. So it has to be the land. But yeah, lots of neighbors have come forward with really creepy stories. There's actually the headstones of two little girls that was found in the woods like a couple hundred yards from our property recently, which would make sense with what
wow.
Alex's mom was experiencing,
right?
So a lot of stuff, yeah. So the paranormal kind of came naturally, really. And then I just fell in love with the TV side of it and all that.
Now, tell me about your experiences in there. You say there was a lot of frightening things. Can you give me an example? What was some of the weird stuff that you saw firsthand?
Yeah, the weirdest by far was I was home alone with my little brother. And the way our front, the first floor is kind of like circular. So he was like running in laps. And he's younger than me. And I was just kind of watching him, hanging out. And one time he ran right by the bathroom, and I saw this like this really pale man staring at me in the shadows. And it's like the first time I ever saw anything too. And I ran out of the house. I left him there. I ran straight to a neighbor's house. They came over and cleared the house, and there was nothing there. I know what I saw. And then later, some of my sisters, too, would have similar experiences, and the cops were called like two different times just to come over and do a sweep because my sisters or someone else would see what they thought was a person, only to find out there's no one there. So it was really weird.
Would the police ever have any weird experiences during their visit?
They never did, but I remember them saying to us, like, sorry, this is kind of out of our,
right.
Like, we don't know how to handle this. If it's not a real person, you're kind of SOL.
I was renting a house up on the south side of the cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were living there for a while, and I had this really weird experience. We had things happening in our house. You could hear voices. We'd be on one floor, you could hear voices on another. You'd go down, and then you'd hear them in the basement. So it was kind of a three-level home.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up buying a house down the block from where we were renting. So we were moving things over. We had a lot of time. So we were moving things over to the house. The last room I had was my in-home studio, right? My radio studio. That night, everybody's over at the other house, all settled in. The only room I have left to move is this studio.
Yeah.
And I say my goodnight for the night, hang up my microphone, your headphones, turn off my microphone. And as I'm sitting there, I hear the front door shut and footsteps. Now, mind you, it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? So I text home. I'm like, did somebody come over? My wife's like, no, we're all sleeping. It's 2 o'clock. I'm like, somebody's in the house. So I did what any strapping, strong alpha male would do. I hid in the closet and called 911.
I know.
And the cops came out to the house. They, it was right by the window, and I told them how to get in. They come in through the garage. They do a sweep through the house, and then I hear the knocking at the bedroom door. So I step out of the closet, and they're like, well, Mr. Schrader, and there was this woman had to be about 5 foot tall tops, right? And then her partner's like 6'4". And they have their fingers hitched into their jacket, into their flak jackets, and they're talking to me. And they're like, well, Mr. Schrader, we did a thorough check. All the windows and doors are closed and locked from the inside, and there's nobody here. And I'm like, well, I know what I heard. There was somebody walking around in my house. And they're like, well, you know, I think you're okay. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 up the stairs. And the cops stop, and they put their hand up. And they could hear the footsteps, and they go, stay right here. And both of them pull their guns out, shut the door, and go back out in the hall.
Oh, my gosh.
And I hear them calling out, who's here? Blah, blah, blah. And they do another sweep. The two of them come walking back in and walk into the room, and they're like, Mr. Schrader, let's go. You can move this stuff in the morning. And I'm like, what happened? And they're like, well, we can't find anybody, but when we were standing in your kitchen, there were very clearly footsteps walking around us.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was the two cops. And I'm like, oh, no. It was nothing terrifying, but it's just unsettling. And the fact that they had heard this was really off-putting to them. So they're like, let's just go now. Come on, let's go. So they walked out. We locked the door and left the house. And I went back the next day during broad daylight and pulled everything out of the house.
Jeez.
So it's great when the cops get involved and they have the experience,
that is,
too.
That's next-level scary, because those are some credible sources right
there. Oh, yeah. Dakota Layden, our guest. If you haven't checked it out, check out Project Fear on YouTube. You can subscribe there, see all of the episodes that are up, including the brand new one from the Washoe Club in Virginia City, Nevada. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. If you have questions, go ahead and hit me up on the stylesfinancial.com WCCO talk and text line 651-461-9226. That's 651-461-9226. We'll be back with more right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back on the Sunday Night Show. I'm Dave Schrader, and tonight is a night of fear and monsters. Project Fear, that is. Dakota Layden, the host of that program, is with us. And again, you can find the Project Fear channel on YouTube. You can also follow them on social media. Never miss a new episode as it comes out. We have a few questions, Dakota, from the stylesfinancial.com WCCO talk and text line. I'd like to know, according to this speaker, if you were familiar with the Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota, it's supposedly haunted.
Yes, we've definitely heard of the Palmer House. I've met the owner, Kelly, twice now.
Right.
We haven't been there for our show, but I think that'll definitely be in our future for sure. Me and Chelsea are living here locally in Minnesota, so
right.
I can't imagine why we wouldn't go do that at some point.
Well, you know, if you want your Uncle Dave to come along with, just give me a call.
We could use the help.
I've had some weird experiences there.
I've heard.
Very strange.
I've heard it's really scary, especially the basement, right?
Yeah. The basement's got, you know, and here's the thing. It's where is your place of fear coming from, mm-hmm. right? I'm not afraid so much as, I mean, I get unnerved, right, when you see things. So I try not to walk in that place of fear so that I can give the spirits a chance to communicate and not feel like they're maybe wasting their time. Mm-hmm. So I've always been pretty good at doing that. But I've had some fun audio. And we'll do an episode on the Palmer House in the future, and I'll share some of the audio and video on the WCCO website. But I'll share some with you as well. So let's see. Dave and Dakota, do you think there is a difference between being visited by ghosts or visited by spirits? Are they the same things?
That's a deep question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I know a lot of people who, like, when someone passes in their life, they will have an encounter with that person that very week. They'll wake up in their sleep and that person's in front of them. I feel like that's a lot more of spiritual than it is maybe a ghost, like mm-hmm. that person's not haunting them. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm credible enough to even have an opinion on this yet.
I like that. And see, I also like that you're self-deprecating in that sense. I mean, you've been at this for a long time, working in this field. And people are always talking about credibility towards the paranormal. Listen, it's a constant evolving field. Where mm-hmm. I started 18 years ago when I began doing paranormal talk radio to where I am today, I've become a lot more fluid with my beliefs and concepts. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you make a great point. Is there a difference between ghosts and spirits? And there are many different thoughts on that. A ghost is, you know, sometimes not necessarily what we think it is. Mm-hmm. A ghost could be time slip phenomena. You're simply seeing or witnessing something from the past or possibly even the future.
Yeah.
Because hauntings don't necessarily have to be something from our past. If a location exists, that spot on Earth has always existed. Mm-hmm. Many different things, like many pages in a book, exist at the same time. Right. So I had a really great story where a guy told me, listen, my grandparents bought a cornfield. They built their house. It wasn't ancient Native American burial grounds. It wasn't Civil War battlefield. Nobody died there. They've never uncovered any bodies on the property. Nothing. They lived there for 40 years. Nothing ever happened. One day in the middle of the afternoon, grandma's sitting in her recliner watching Jeopardy. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, three shadowy figures walk into the room and stop in front of her. Turn and run out of the room.
Oh, my gosh.
Now her house is haunted, right?
Yeah.
Everybody believes grandma. She's not senile. She's not having problems. But, you know, now people become more acutely aware of weird things going on. He said, a couple years later, my grandmother passed away, and I went to visit my grandfather along with two of my buddies. We walked into the house. I walked into the living room with my two friends, and there, in my grandmother's recliner, was my grandmother looking up at us. We stopped and looked at each other and ran out of the room, and I stopped and thought, oh, my God. This is exactly what she described seeing 3 years ago.
That is so trippy.
So in that moment, who's haunting who? What's what's actually taking place? So it's a good point. I don't know that there is one true answer to what ghosts or spirits are. Is it something anomalous? Yes. Is it something paranormal? Yes. Does it mean that it's outside of our regular parameters? Sure, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily something that isn't going on around us all times. We just are not tuned into it.
Yeah, I believe that for sure. Man, that's trippy. That's a scary story right there.
Dave and Dakota, what's the scariest encounter both of you have ever had together or separately? Well, we've never had a chance to investigate yet together, right? But what would you say is the scariest moment you've ever had?
There's one that comes to mind. We were in the basement of a sanatorium. And I wasn't the one hearing it. It was Tanner, but he called everyone to his spot and he just said, I'm hearing people talking, like, I need you to hear this. And we were all sitting right there, and out of nowhere, just this loudest scream. It sounded like an animalistic, like humanoid scream, but it sounded like from me to you, about 5-10 feet away. There was no one there. We left the location. We were so terrified. We even went back in like an hour later looking for like speakers because we're like, this was too insane. We didn't find anything, and that was like one of the one times where I really went from like kind of scared of this stuff to like really scared because of that something down there was yelling at us, and it was not in front of us, and it made no sense. But I don't know. I think hearing anything, any audible voices, is always the scariest, especially when you know you're the only one at a location. What about you, though? What's your scariest?
I've had some weird stuff happen throughout my life. I think the still the most chilling to me as a grown adult. When I was a child, I was walking from my house. I grew up in Medina, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Very nice white bread city, right? And I'm walking past a house, and it's the 77, 78, you know, and 1977, 1978. Yeah. And, you know, back then we didn't have 2 million TV channels. We didn't have tablets or phones to keep us distracted. We would watch our neighbors and keep in touch, right? And I was walking past a house on my way to my buddy's house, and I happened to glance up, and it's a little ranch-style house with a big picture window, and there's a guy inside the picture window just standing, staring out his window, as many people would do, mm-hmm. his arms kind of folded back behind him. I take a few more steps, and I turn back to glance at him, and now he's outside, and he's like, so if you went out his front door, there's a row of hedges, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you'd have to come out the door around the row of hedges to get in the spot he was. And I never heard a door open. I never heard anything. And it was that fast.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, did I hallucinate? Did I think he was inside? And I took a few more steps and turned around. Now he's in the middle of the yard and he's staring at me. And he's as flesh and blood as you are.
It's like Slender Man.
Right. It was just very creepy, kind of. Just that he was moving. So again, your brain is trying to, even at an early age, trying to make sense of this because nothing ethereal or ghostly about him. His head's not bursting into flames or dripping blood. There's nothing creepy. And I turn one more time and he's like 3 feet away from me standing there. I ran like a bat out of hell and for years took the longest route I could around to get home from my friend's house or to get to my friend's house because I didn't want to pass that home. So that would still – now, there's no reason to inherently still be afraid of it. But as a child, because you cannot understand the experience, it was terrifying. And as a grown adult, I still get the willies when I drive by that house when I go to visit my dad. And he thinks it's hilarious. The one day he drove me into the driveway, and then he goes, "Dad, what the hell is that?" And I go, "Shut up." And he points to the wall. And no kidding, there's like this gargoyle thing hanging on the wall. It's a piece of decor.
Yeah, yeah.
But it like just doesn't fit with the house decor.
That's crazy.
And he goes, "What is that?" And I took a picture of it, and it's still there. It is a legitimate like home decoration piece, but oh, very weird.
That reminds me of when I was younger, because I think some of the younger stuff that happened to me definitely was the most scarring. But I saw my mom run up the stairs one time at the house, mm-hmm. and she was like crying, and she said a man when she opened the storage room door, a man walked right through her. And to see, I didn't even see it, but to see my mom that startled and that scared, that kind of scarred me for a little while.
Yeah, that when the adults that are supposed to be there to protect us are unnerved by this. And that was, my dad is still, I mean, he's 78 years old and he's this tough little Polish construction worker with huge Popeye forearms, right? And he would come darting upstairs once in a while because when he'd be downstairs working in his mad scientist lab, he's always building stuff and doing stuff. He would hear voices down there and he'd come charging upstairs. And that's the house I grew up in was always like that. Nothing ever terrifying. It was just enough that you could hear people walking upstairs. You'd go upstairs to see who's home, nobody there. Gosh. Or you'd hear voices downstairs. You'd go downstairs to see who's there, nobody there. So it was always around us. But it was funny when it would actually impact and affect my parents.
Yeah.
We've got more to discuss. If you have questions, you can continue to reach out through the stylesfinancial.com WCCO talk and text line 651-461-9226. You can text in your questions or give us a call if you'd like to speak to Dakota Layden specifically. 651-461-9226 is the number. We'll be back with more of the Sunday show. I'm Dave Schrader. This is News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to the Sunday Night Show. I'm Dave Schrader. My guest right now, Dakota Layden. Next hour, Doug Hychek joins me from Monster Quest. His new film, Sasquatch, Legend Meets Science Number 2. We'll be talking about Bigfoot, monsters, myths, and more. Stay tuned for that. All right, Dakota, we've got the brand new episode that's out and available on YouTube of Project Fear. You get to go visit the Washoe Club.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about this episode and what people can expect.
Yeah. So part one is out right now. Part two drops on Friday, which is us sleeping alone there, the second part of the night. This location is iconic, as you know. Some of the greatest teams have been there, some of the most iconic teams. So we went in with a lot of expectations, and we definitely left very, very happy with what we experienced.
Ever tough when you're going to a location that has such high regards, mm-hmm. right? And such an elaborate history of hauntings. Do you ever get there and think, what if we find out this is all just BS.
Yeah, I mean, it does happen where you're there for an hour or two and nothing happens. A lot of people, when they watch the shows, they think it just happens, and then they go to a place and they're bummed because it wasn't happening. But like, what you're seeing in the shows are the highlight reel.
Right.
Sometimes there's hours passing where nothing happens. And the Wash show, I think, was a slow start for us, but then it just got active. The more equipment we brought up, the more interactions we got. I would say we definitely, in every hot spot, we definitely interacted with the spirits that were said to be there, just with the types of responses we were getting. It was very, very direct that night. And you could tell being there that these spirits were comfortable talking. We've been to other places where it's almost like they're shy, like they don't know how to maybe talk yet. But this place was just like they knew, they're used to it, and they made themselves known right away. And then, yeah, so I mean, part one is out. You can go check that out. I think part two is scarier. It's a little creepier. It's when we always will separate and sleep alone. So all four of us will draw out of a hat, and for 4 to 5 hours, we just go alone. And that definitely was hard. I was in the ballroom. And I don't know, just something about being in one of the most iconic places and being alone. And wait till you see it, too. I think everyone was ready to leave when the sun came out.
Well, and don't skip part one so you can go right to the scary part two, because part one gives you the history and background. Mm-hmm. And in part one, you start having experiences happen even while you're just reading the history.
Yeah.
And knocks and weird noises coming. So make sure you check that out, Project Fear, on the Project Fear channel on YouTube. The episodes are free to watch.
Yeah, free to watch. It's on YouTube. We've got about 25 videos out now, and we've been posting for almost a year. Yeah, go check it out. Part one is still great. Like, we did explore it as a group, lots of stuff. But while we were reading the packet behind us, something was knocking on the window with the location to our backs. That was just scary enough to go, okay, great. Now we're going to go in there.
Is it weird to still kind of be frightened? I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. And I always feel weird asking this kind of question because it is. It depends on where your mindset is on going this. Do you consider yourself a paranormal investigator or just a paranormal explorer?
I would say explorer. Like, we do investigation techniques, some of the stuff I've learned over the years. But it's definitely more of like the explorer in me. Like, when I was younger, I used to go to abandoned buildings all the time just to chase the fear and try to get scared. But it doesn't get easier. That's the thing. A lot of people ask, like, is it get easier? Like, no. Like, the more you actually encounter, the more things you can't write off in your head, the more you go, crap, like, this is real. And I like, now you just have more things that you're scared of, more possibilities. Just when we heard that screaming voice we talked about, like, every time I go to a location now, I'm thinking, is this going to happen again? Are we going to hear that scream? So it actually gets harder. It's tough.
Yeah, we did. And you bring up a great point, too. When people watch the programs, right? Mm-hmm. And then I go do live events, right? And I'm going to be at the Palmer House in August with Shane Pittman from TV show The Holzer Files and 28 Days Haunted on Netflix, and with Sarah Lemos from Ghost Town Terror and Ghosts of Morgan City.
Okay.
We're going to be doing an event there with followers and friends and doing a cool event. If people are interested, we do have a handful of tickets still available at darknessevents.com. where you can find all the cool paranormal places I'll be visiting this year. But you can go there. You go in and you do the filming at these locations. And when people come out to a live place, sometimes we get nothing for an hour or two.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it lights up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. People forget that this is like a highlight reel. We're there filming for 8 hours, 9 hours. And then you really only get 10 seconds of what we consider evidence, right? The figure walking past the door, the voices that you're recording, the whatever the activity might be. They forget that there's a lot of time and effort put into this. It doesn't just happen. Ghosts don't just act like circus monkeys and show up for your amusement. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to communicate, they don't. It's always, in my opinion, about the respect that you show to them and their story.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, spirits are more drawn to certain people. So, like, I could go in a room and get nothing, but then Chelsea, my sister, goes in and they're all over her, like, at a prison especially.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely very, very interesting with that. But I do all the editing too for Project Fear. And so I could tell you firsthand, like, there are hours of just boring, boring content, asking questions and getting nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the fun part about the editing, is trimming it all down. But yeah. Don't be upset if you go somewhere and it doesn't happen right away. You got to really put yourself there for many, many hours.
Right. And showing that you're legitimately interested in having some kind of communication helps. I think if you go in and you show fear up front and show that you're you know, you're really just hoping to get spooked. I don't know. I mean, it takes, my guess, a lot of energy for these beings to make themselves known. And if they know you're just terrified of them, they may not make themselves as available to you.
And
open
your mind, too, because there's so many people who go there where they're like got their arms crossed and they're kind of just, well, where is it? Where's the ghost? And it's like, well, you got to like, if they don't like you, they're definitely not going to talk to you if you're acting like that.
Agreed. Now, again, we've got some questions coming from the stylesfinancial.com WCCO talk and text line. If you'd like to text in a question or two, you certainly can. 651-461-9226. You can text or give a call and speak to Dakota Layden in person right here on the line. We've got a couple more questions. Let me see where we go. Hi, my name is Kaylin Morgan from California, and my question for both Dave and Dakota is, if you could choose any investigation to do, what would you choose and why?
For me, I would say Alcatraz. I've always wanted to go and be, I want to go and be alone though. Like I don't want to go a part of a tour. So that's like a dream bucket list, just to spend a night on Alcatraz. I've seen it multiple times from a distance, but that's one of those kind of bucket list spots I have to see.
I've been lucky enough to get that. I got to investigate and spend the night in Alcatraz, but I was part of a group. So there was about 25 people on the island, but there were times you got to be alone off in an area. And that was unnerving. I will be honest with you. I would love to investigate the White House.
Oh, yeah, that would be really fascinating.
Right?
Jeez.
With the amount of history, and a lot of people don't realize how much history there is, there's a really good children's book that you can get on Amazon called Who Haunts the White House by Jeff Belanger.
Okay.
And it's even an audio book form. Check it out because it's a great way to teach kids history, but to teach yourself as well. You learn the history and why some of these areas were haunted and what went into it. So kind of and a lot of people don't realize how much spiritualism is surrounding the White House. I actually did one of the shock docs on Travel Channel, and it's on Max now. It's called Demon in the White House.
Okay, yeah.
And it's about the first ladies and presidents and people that would hold seances inside the White House.
Jeez.
And many different presidents, you would be surprised, from Abraham Lincoln all the way through, that have continued to call on supernatural forces for answers.
Gosh.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. Yeah. Very neat. So that would be my choice. Hello. My name is Melissa from Pennsylvania. My question is for Dakota. Are you interested in investigating Gettysburg?
Gettysburg. What's up, Melissa? Probably. I want to do it right. I want to do it justice. It's kind of hard with our format of our show because we do separate and we sleep alone. But that might be just one of those episodes where we have to camp out or something. But I've always wanted to go. I've been close many times, and that's at the top of the bucket list for sure.
Well, you know, there's enough places in Gettysburg that you guys could seriously set up an old army-style pup tent and be very alone in four different battlefield sites.
Well, we just at the Washoe in Virginia City, the video that comes out in 2 weeks, our final Virginia City video, we did that where we rented four of the most haunted hotel rooms in the city at different hotels, and each of us spent a full 12 hours in that room. That's an interesting kind of format change. Go there, but spend each of us get our own building or spot.
Yeah.
You might have to do that. That's a good one.
Yeah. Check it out. All right, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we've got more of your questions on the stylesfinancial.com WCCO talk and text line. Again, go subscribe right now and make sure to hit that bell button on YouTube so that you don't miss another episode. Go subscribe to the Project Fear YouTube channel. And while you're there, look up the Paranormal 60 YouTube channel and subscribe to my podcast. Two more episodes a week of The Strange and Supernatural. We'll be back with Dakota Layden right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm your host now, Jonathan. Welcome back to the Sunday Night Show. I'm Dave Schrader, in studio with me, Dakota Layden from Project Fear. You can find the Project Fear YouTube channel. Subscribe, hit that bell. Make sure that you click the alert to let you know every time a brand new episode and content is released. We got a couple more questions coming into us from the stylesfinancial.com WCCO talk and text line. Let's see here. This one we got to go back for. I skipped over it. I apologize. Dave, I love the show. Thank you for being here. Question for you and your guest. I very frequently have lights, particularly street lights, go out when I walk under them. I had paranormal experiences as a child with my older brother who had died in my bedroom 7 years before I was born. Do the lights going out a lot signify anything paranormal? Thanks.
Jeez, that's a tough one. I don't really know. What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, it's not an unknown phenomenon. There's a lot of people that have that experience, and I've had it happen from time to time as well. Whereas I'm walking down the street, it's very Billie Jean music video. As I'm walking down the street and passing under streetlights, they start going out.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is going on? But if we're throwing off any kind of PK, psychokinetic energy, which is what a lot of people believe is happening in poltergeist cases,
okay,
it could be theoretically affecting and influencing the lights. I don't know that there's any scientific proof or backing to any of that, but it's certainly interesting, and a lot of people have it happen. So I wouldn't just throw it out, you know, but keep aware of it and start to notice if you don't walk under that light. Does it go out at the same time every night, or does it go out even if you look at it and give it a few seconds of concentration? You know, start playing with that ability. See what happens there. Let's see. Okay. Hi, my name is Burgundy Brown from Wyoming. My question for Dave and Dakota is, people believe in ghosts, people believe in aliens, but what is your take on alien ghosts?
Ooh,
do you think we can experience them here on Earth?
Alien ghost, Burgundy, this is next level. I don't know about alien ghosts, but I have talked to people who have had encounters where I've gone like, man, maybe what you experienced wasn't a ghost. Maybe this was something else, like something supernatural. Especially with like orbs and stuff, when people see balls of light flying,
right. Mm-hmm.
That could be UFO. That could be, I mean, and so many people now especially are talking about these balls of light. But alien ghosts, geez, you have to go to Roswell for that one.
Right. Well, you know, from what my understanding is, there are people here that claim to be reincarnated from alien beings on other planets,
and
that we can incarnate on other planets. So why not?
I mean, we're probably aliens.
That's right.
Let's be real.
The StylesFinancial.com WCCO talk and text line. We've got James from Houston who's on the line. You've got a quick question?
Yes, sir. Hey, Dakota.
Hello.
Okay. Got a question for you. Are you ever going to do any investigations here in Houston?
In Houston?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we'd love to come to Texas more. Do you have any recommendations? Because I don't really have any spots on the top of my list.
Well, I know there's a downtown library, the old one, not the new one. I had experience there once. And there's another building called, I can't think of the name of it, downtown, that supposedly.
Okay.
And there's a house on called Wichita Street.
Very cool, James. Yeah. Well, you can always reach out to Dakota from his website and information over at Project Fear on YouTube. If you come up with some names of these locations, make sure to reach out to him and let him know about that. Thank you very much.
Always down to go down to Texas.
Yeah, we've got about 2 minutes left together here. What else is going on? What other episodes can we look forward to coming up?
Yeah, so we have two more videos coming out that were filmed in Virginia City this Friday and next Friday. We have a collab coming out later in the summer with some bigger YouTubers named Sam and Colby. And then this fall, we will have our first ever UK series come out. So we just wrapped filming that. So starting, I think, Halloween Day, we're going to release the first one. And then all throughout November, December, have a bunch of videos coming out from the UK. So that was a next level experience for us. And that's one you don't want to miss. I think that's going to be our best trip we've ever done.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Yeah, the UK is crazy.
Yeah.
With the kind of spiritual energy that you find when you go over there.
You can't even like pinpoint it. It's so old, so much history.
I was just reminiscing because, you know, I've had a great chance to travel the world and see places. And being a fan of the old Universal Studio Monsters, I just realized, well, let's see. I've been to Romania and Transylvania to visit Dracula's castles. I've been to Burg Frankenstein out in Germany.
Jeez.
I've been out to the actual mummy's tomb. I got to be in King Tut's tomb with a small group of people and investigate. And I've been to England where the werewolf is from. So I've had a lot of cool opportunities to see these places. But Europe, by far, has got some of the most unusual, frightening. To me, there's a lot more frightening elements to that because it's so steeped in blood and violence over there.
Lots of paganism stuff, lots of weird ritual stuff too. Yeah. And yeah, like it's going to be hard to come back to America after that trip. I think that'd be tough.
Dakota Layden, check out his program and you can subscribe to the Project Fear YouTube channel. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Sasquatch, legend meets science. Doug Hijcek, our guest, right here at News Talk 830 WCCO.